Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 106 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be program number 208. If you'd like a copy of it, please specify as to whether you want a CD or a disc. A tape, an audio tape. I'm like a dinosaur. I come out of the old world, you know, where we didn't have all this stuff, CDs, DVDs, EGBs, and KGBs, and all this stuff. Oh, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, the difference between a CD and a DVD and a tape, an audio tape, and a videotape, and there's so many different things today. You know, it seems like sometimes I feel like Rip Van Winkle that I just woke up. Well, anyway, we have these programs, and Sharon, at the end of this program, will tell you how to get a copy of the one today. Right, and we have some letters, some from Africa and some from Brooklyn, New York, and Harlem in New York, where the Apollo Theater is. I've been in there several times before I was saved. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. And it's so marvelous to see people from Harlem in New York and from the Bronx and Brooklyn, Manhattan, all over New York and all over the world getting saved today. That just shows me that we're living in the last days, because this is one of the last signs, is that the gospel would be preached throughout the world. And with all these DVDs and CDs and satellites and cables and all the different things that we've got today, the world is being can be evangelized very quickly, but people have to beware of how they hear and what they hear. The Lord tells us to do that because there's so many false prophets in the world today. Almost everyone on television says that that the Lord saved you from your former sins, any sin that you commit today and the sins in the future, and that is a big lie. That shows me they're very bold to be false prophets, and they forget that God has got somebody around that is going to pull the lid off of them to show the people in the world. That, I mean, the whole world is infested with false prophets. You know, the way that the world is today, this guy definitely could be a source of discouragement to a lot of people. There's just no end to the depression, discouragement, the insecurities, the uncertainties, and the fear. People are possessed with fears today because of, they don't know, because of the atomic power and the insane leaders in this world. There's over 50 countries that are threatening, that the administration here in the United States says that they fear that they could launch nuclear warheads towards the United States, and there isn't anything that they could do about it. And so it's obvious that every society down through history has stated that they're going to make a better society. But as the years go on, we find out that they didn't bring a better society. That today there was World War I, and so the people developed the League of Nations, and they were going to make a better world. Until all of a sudden, with the League of Nations, we see World War II popped up all of a sudden, right? Mm-hmm. And millions upon millions of people were destroyed, killed because of these wars. And so they got together now, the New World Order, where you've got the League of Nations has progressed now to the point to where it's the United Nations throughout the entire world. And people, you ask them today, even a person that is mentally retarded could tell you that the society today, with all these people trying to develop this new world order and is saying that they're going to make a better society. Is the society better today? No, there's more wars than ever before on the face of this earth. There's more rumors of wars, and there's more curses from God coming down from the kingdom of heaven. And so, naturally, people are possessed with fear and uncertainty, insecurities, and depression. And the suicide rate is higher than it's ever been before because people haven't got a clear direction for their lives. And so that's why God has called people like myself to direct you to peacefulness with the Lord, perfect peace and a sound mind, and so that you can have a certain knowledge of what to do with your life. The Lord didn't save us just to exist and then die, but the Lord has a purpose for every person on the face of this earth. A purpose, and if we don't fulfill that purpose, you're going to always be filled with fear, uncertainty, depression, and all the other things that I mentioned, and all the things that you're going through, and thoughts of suicide, and people who have left the church. They found out that there's nothing in the world whatsoever, that they were happy in the church. They were full of peacefulness and sound mind, and they had a sense of security because they knew they were on the straight and narrow path to the kingdom of God. Now, the way, the gate is straight, and the path is straight. Now, like when people are not on the straight and narrow, well, it's not a path anymore. It's a whole field, or like the whole world. There's so many things that could happen when you're on the broad highway. You're broad-minded. You think that you can have a life that is led by your own will and still have heaven. But the Bible tells you straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and that there's very few people that shall enter the kingdom of God. But the road to destruction is a very depressing one, and it's full of fear. And especially, you know, when people land before the great white throne of God. You talk about depression and insecurity and uncertainty. There you'll be certain of what's going to happen to you. The Bible makes it clear that if we walk on the straight and narrow path, that we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, and if we walk the broad way, that we're going to be in hell. And there's no other, it's all throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us all these things. And so let's all go to the throne of the Lord right now and ask the Lord to open your mind, your spirit, and those of you that are saved already and are on the straight and narrow path, that God will increase your knowledge of the scriptures. The Lord didn't bring me into this world without a purpose, and He didn't bring you into this world without a purpose either. God has a purpose for each and every one, and it doesn't please Him that any of His creation, as far as humanity is concerned, that they should perish, and therefore that's why He came into the world, because we were all on a course to hell. We're on this planet is spinning around. You could say that we're actually on a spaceship, because this world is hanging in space, and we're, you know, like little ants or grasshoppers on it. And one would think that God doesn't care anything about such little creatures as ourselves. But the Lord cares so much about us that He sent His only begotten Son. And you say, we've heard that so many times, but if you have a son, or if you will in the future have a son, would you send your sons into the world, into this world, if you were in heaven, so that they could be brutalized and murdered, killed, and beaten half to death, and nailed to a cross, and then die on a cross for the sinners in this world? Well, you say, why would God do something? God is not are like us. You know, God is God and we're humans. We're just made out of the dirt of the ground. When you take a decomposed body or you take it and put it into a crematory and it's cremated, you can take the little amount of dust that's left there and you'll see the same amount of iron ore in that dust, copper, magnesium, and all the different metals that's in the earth. And so that's true, you know, that we're made out of the dirt of the ground, but there's the spirit in us, and the spirit's going to spend eternity someplace, and we really need to take care of our soul so that our soul doesn't spend eternity in hell and then later in the lake of fire, where the fire is never quenched, it just burns forever. And the spirit, it's dying constantly, but it never ever comes to a cease of existence. It's going to exist forever. And so it makes real good sense to, if you're depressed, if you're full of fears, uncertainty, and you just don't know what to do, you're wild with anxiety. Many people are taking drugs because of that. Many people are in bars, or they're trying to bury themselves in entertainment, or pornography, or sin, some sort of sin, or sex. They're flying over to different countries for smoking marijuana and taking hashish and all these different things is legal. They just want to get out of this world. And it doesn't make any difference where you go. Your soul, your spirit goes with you. And if there's sin on your soul, that goes with you too. And if you go into deeper sin, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get out of it. But we're not, you don't get out of sin and your sinful state and all these things, these fears and depressions, by changing your environment. Now the minute that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart with the Father by the Spirit, that's the minute that the Spirit of God, you come into the reality that, my God, there's really a God. There's really a Jesus, because you can feel him into your soul. And my God, what the preacher is saying is true. I feel inner strength, the power that's within me now. And I know that there's a heaven, and therefore a great, tremendous joy enters into your soul, because you know that there's something beyond this world. And the Bible clearly tells us that it's a place of peace and joy and happiness, and that you never grow old there. You'll always look throughout eternity at about age 17 or 16, 17, whenever you were the best looking in your life, only you'll look millions of times, at least, I wouldn't say millions of times, you'll know it's you, but you'll be more beautiful than you ever were on the face of this earth. There'll be no imperfections in you. It doesn't matter what imperfections you have now. For instance, I've got bad eyes, and the Lord showed me a vision of myself in heaven, and my eyes were perfect. I could tell because a spark went out of my eyes when I was glancing over to something. And I saw Susie, whose hair had been gone because she had had to take chemotherapy, and it just cleaned all the hair off of her head. And it showed her with long blonde hair clear down to her waist, the beehive on top of it, and a little gold crown around that, and there were diamonds in her hair, and she had bangs in front, and then the sweeping sides, whatever they call them, curls that went to the side. My hair was silver, and all my life my hair has been dark brown or black, and my hair was in ringlets and close to my head. It never was that way, but it was silver, and my complexion was gold, and that, it just looked incredible, and I looked better, and Susie looked better than any movie stars that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we were absolutely gorgeous, just gorgeous, and you'll be the same way if you, you know, let the Lord enter your life, and you'll be thanking and praising the Lord that you did. because just as sure as the Lord's predictions are coming true in regard to the things that would be happening in these last days are happening right now, just that sure, it won't be long until this old world will be over with. It's finished. It's over with. And so when people get saved today, they're entering in at the very last moments of time. And you just don't have any more time, because after you get saved, you must grow in power. Now, the word grace means power. Now, the law came with Moses, but power and truth came with Jesus Christ. Now, power, Moses never, he gave the law, and the law is much more than the Ten Commandments. When you get saved, you still have to keep the Ten Commandments, because if you don't, the Bible clearly tells us that we will, there'll be no more forgiveness for us. And I've heard a couple of pastors on the television today say that they twisted that scripture to the point to where it doesn't have any meaning anymore. It doesn't mean what it's really saying. And that's what you have to watch out for, is these false teachers, preachers, pastors, supposed to be prophets. And, you know, you say, well, how do we know you're right? Well, the way you tell if I'm right or wrong is pick your Bible up and make sure it's a King James Version, or an Aramaic or Hebrew or a Hellenic Greek Bible, and read the Bible for yourself and see if I'm right or see if I'm wrong. I don't want your money. I'm not doing this for money. God knows I own a Beatles album. That's worth, I'm told, over $50 to $100 billion, depending on how it's promoted. And I've never sold that album since I've been saved. That's over almost 42 years ago. And I had the album about 43 years ago when I did the promotion for Pete Best, who was the original drummer with the Beatles. His mother had 6 albums, and he said if I'd promote him, that he'd give me an album. And so I said, sure, and I did it. And he was awarded several million English pounds, which amounts to, an English pound then was about 2.5 American dollars. And after that, I never saw him again. And then all of a sudden, he started calling me. And I've been in, his brother contacted me. His brother's name is Rogue Best from Liverpool. He wanted me to get him into Las Vegas, into the one of the hotels there. Of course, I still have connections to do that, but I'm in the Lord's business now. And I knew I could do it, and I was going to do it to get him into the main room, because I thought I'd have a chance to witness and testify to him since I've been saved. See, when I did the promotion for him, I wasn't saved. And I wanted an opportunity to do that. But anyway, I'm not in this for the money. And you shouldn't be in it for the money either after you get saved. But you have to remember that there's an economy in the kingdom of heaven. It's we all enjoy equally, not necessarily, we all enjoy the blessings or the commonwealth of the kingdom of God. There are many common things that we enjoy together. God knows that if he gave tremendous amounts of money to some of you, that it would throw your soul. But there are some of us that's had money before and it didn't mean anything to us, that when he gives it to us, we just use it for the gospel. And from time to time, the Lord has sent in money lately, and what we do is just, what I do is I just distribute it to people in need, where I see people starving to death, or people that are just generally in need. But right now, and one thing, you know, if you need finances, you do have to give tithes and offerings. If you don't give them to me, give them to somebody else that you think is doing a greater work than I am. That's fine. I mean, give it where you know you figure it's going to do the most good. Amen?
Amen.
But you better give, because if you don't, you're not keeping the commandments. And if you don't, you're robbing God. And, of course, no robber's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So you better tithe to somebody that you know is doing a big, big, big work for the Lord. Right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint the rest of this service. I was going to pray, but he started anointing me, and so I can't do anything but do what he tells me to do or say what he tells me to say. And I know that when he's telling me to say something to you, then it's got to be doing some good. Amen?
Amen.
And to some of you, I'm sure it's doing a lot of good, because we get good letters that it has done good. Father, thank you. Continue pouring. Continue this blessing. Continue speaking through me to the world at large. Lord, you know they just took me off the air in the San Francisco area. I pray that, if this is your will, praise the Lord. I know you want the people to talk to, but there are some places in your word where you say, leave them alone. Leave Ephraim alone. They're not going to receive anything, so leave them alone. And so I'm sure some homosexual was offended at your word, Father. But they are, and if there's somebody, there's nobody up there that's going to receive it, praise the Lord, we'll save the money. But if it's your will that we're out there, get us another station, Father, I pray. In the meantime, Lord, let the church, I know the church will be strengthened from this. And that I pray that in the whatever amount of souls that are out there listening, Lord, save them. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, where's the first letter from?
It's a witnessing response from Brooklyn, New York. It says, the other day I was distributing Polish dry bones hand to hand in a...
Okay, now Polish dry bones. My testimony, which what she means, is that my testimony is called dry bones. And we have it in other languages, and what she's saying here is that we were distributing my testimony tract entitled Dry Bones in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And it was in, we have it translated in many languages, and this one was in Polish. Then we'll go from there.
Yes, sir. I asked a man if he read Polish. He said no. I said English. He said Romanian. I said, I have a tract in Romanian.
Right. I am a Romanian Jew. That means I'm part Italian. I mean Italian. And part Jewish. I mean, I'm gypsy. It's the word gypsies, I guess. We roam the earth. And I don't sell cars, so don't worry about that. And I don't use crystal balls. And no one in my family ever has either. And one of our main people in Romania is from Transylvania. He and I are the most well-known people from Romania. I'm talking about Dracula and myself. All right, then what?
I said, I have a tract in Romanian. And he said, I bet you don't. He said, I'll bet you $10 you don't. I gave him one, and he pulled $10 out of his wallet. I told him to keep his money. It would be enough if he read the Romanian and English literature that I gave him.
See, right there, one of our people on the streets will tell you that I'm not out for your $10, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a million, we'll take it, and we'll get the gospel out more, okay? If you're just tithing $10, you need it worse than we do. Okay, what else?
So he took them and walked away. It's wonderful to have your literature and all the different languages that we do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Then what?
The next letter is from Kampala, Uganda. Pastor Tony Alamo, beloved of the Lord, I want to thank the Almighty God who has allowed this precious time of opening up my heart to share God's love with you. Firstly, I want to thank you for the great encouragement I received from your letter. I, my family, and our ministers were so blessed that our words can't express what we feel, but rather we pray that the Almighty God, who controls the whole universe, would grant you a special blessing. I want to assure you that I am going to use all of your advice to its maximum. Thanks a lot. I thank you very much for all that concern for God's work. Thank you very much for being so open-hearted to tell me all your heart and what it took for you to build up that ministry. I was so touched and challenged, and I am sure my ministry is going to move forward based on the ideas that you shared with me through your own personal experience. I otherwise encourage you to continue to stand and teach God's Word in its real value and standard. I am aware of your churches in India and elsewhere. God is using you. I am declaring that I will always be under you, and I request you to always to allow me to be your spiritual son and you my spiritual father. I have always read writings of men of God and watched many preachers on television, but I found your teaching original from the Lord, and I feel I can't afford to miss you as my spiritual father. I am hereby requesting you to continue standing as the Daniel of our time without any compromise. Unless God raises preachers of your kind, the Pentecostal movement in our country is almost losing track. I thereby request you to send us more of your messages, literature, and Messiah books, as well as Bibles. In the future, when your ministers may consider visiting Africa, we shall always be ready to receive you in our church. I am specifically interested to know what God is doing as far as revival is concerned in the U.S., U.K., India, Japan, Israel, South Africa, etc. Once again, I want to appreciate you for considering the burden on my heart. May God richly reward you for your kindness. Pass our greetings and appreciation to the entire ministry team of Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. May God's love surround you in all you do. Pastor Emmanuel from Kampala, Uganda.
We'll get a copy of this tape to him, and he knows now that not only are we going to share that blessing of his, not only with the church here, but throughout the entire world. Amen?
Amen.
And to people that are not even in the church, of course, this will not make Satan very unhappy, but I'm always happy when Satan is unhappy. Amen?
Amen.
I am. Okay. And the Lord is too. All right. I always enjoy the things the Lord enjoys.
Amen.
Okay. Then what?
Then another witnessing response from Harlem, New York.
Harlem. Okay. Then what?
We were distributing.
I hear former President Clinton has an office there now. That place is not like it was when I was living in Manhattan. So now become real chic to have an apartment there or an office. So it's not like it used to be. Okay, then what?
We were distributing your literature, Mass Suicide, in Harlem at the 125th and 8th Avenue subway station yesterday. There were some plainclothes cops watching the turnstiles for fare beaters. After about an hour...
Fare beaters, that means people are trying to cheat. They have these little turnstiles there. Occasionally I would ride the subways, and they're just little turnstiles. You drop your token in there, or I don't know how they have it now. I've lived there quite a few years ago. But you could easily jump over the turnstiles to get on the subway, and a lot of people just stay on the subway. Used to, anyway, used to sleep on the subway, and they'd go back and forth, you know, go clear out to Queens, and then all the way back to 42nd Street, and then back to Queens again, and they'd take about a half hour each time, and they could get a good night's snooze there, or go into one of those motion picture theaters over on 42nd Street, which I don't think they have anymore. They were these, you buy your way in there for 25 cents, and they used to go to sleep there. A funny thing, you know, like one time I was in there, and when it gets to be about 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd have these old westerns and Victor Mature movies and stuff. And about 2 in the morning or 3, there's a guy that the lights would go on in there, and the guy with the bass drum would go just pounding that bass drum up and down the aisles to wake the bums up. And then he'd start herding them all out. And you couldn't really hear the movie too good because everybody would be snoring so much with these winos. But, you know, now we go out there and witness to the winos. Amen?
Amen.
And when they've got souls, and, you know, the Lord wants them in heaven, too.
Amen.
There's a lot of alcoholics that have been saved through our ministry. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
After about an hour and a half, one of them came up to me and said, "Give me some of your flyers." I knew he was a cop in what he was up to, so I gave him some, and he said, give me some more, so I did. So he was handing them out between John and I. After a while...
John was another one of our people from our church. Then what?
After a while, I said to him, you're pretty good at this. We'll have to get you a T-shirt.
Yep. Then what?
When we were done, I went up and thanked him and asked him what size and color T-shirt he wanted. He told me, and I said, next time we come here, I'll give you one.
Okay, that's, you know, that's something to have the New York Police Department's distributing our literature on the streets over there. They must think we're okay. Amen?
Amen.
And then, you know, like... the people in the Lord have never been what you call sophisticated people. We have a society today that thinks they're sophisticated, you know, because they've they say they sent rockets to the moon, but of course that's many people believe that that was done in a motion picture studio, like Universal Lot or Warner Brothers or someplace. And because, you know, Satan is an imitator of miracles. And that really isn't a miracle, because God gives everybody a real good brain. The only thing is, a lot of people don't use it. But the Lord gave us a brain to, so that we could, after we're saved, rule the world for Him. And that's the purpose that He made mankind in the image and likeness of God, is because He wanted them to rule the world and have dominion and power over everything in the world. And then Adam lost it, and then Jesus brought it back. And so when we are saved, we're in the body of Christ, and so the Lord wants us to continue ruling the world here to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. The Lord wants the kingdom of heaven to be extended to this earth, and then when as many people that are going to be saved are saved, then the Lord's coming back. And then He's going to gather all those that chose to be saved, and people that don't want the disappointment of the things that are going on in this earth, or the people that don't want to be afraid of what's going on. Once you're saved, you don't care if a rocket hits you. But God, one of the things that are in the economy of God, for those that are in the commonwealth, that we receive God's defense. And He has hundreds of millions of angels that defend us if we're really right with the Lord. I love that.
Amen.
And I love the health and welfare benefits, like we're healed. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord if we're keeping the commandments of the Lord. And we have prosperity. He gives us everything we need. That's part of the commonwealth. And it goes on and on. I love the thought that God has got His hand on me, and that He has angels defending me. They've been talking about killing me ever since I was saved. And that's been almost 42 years ago. And they still haven't killed me. And so some of you... people out there that are taking instructions from Satan, you probably say, well, we'll just kill you to show that what we said 42 years ago is true. Do it quickly, amen? I mean, do me, you'll be doing me a service, because I'll be in heaven right away.
Amen.
Does that discourage you, Satan? Well, it doesn't me. I'm not worried about a thing. Come quickly. I praise the Lord. Okay, what else? You got another letter?
Yes, from Kenya, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, greetings to you and the sisters and brothers of Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. Thank you for the Messiah books, newsletters, and Bibles you are sending to me. They are a real blessing and of great encouragement to the people here. Many souls are coming to the Lord every day through reading your literature. Please continue to send more copies and pray for us and help us in any way you can. Every blessing to you, Pastor Amos from Alamo Christian Churches of Kenya.
Praise the Lord, Brother Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless all of our distributors everywhere. Build a wall of fire around and about them, and camp your defense team around every one of us. Lord, this defense team, the army of God, is the host of heaven. And you are the commander-in-chief of the host of heaven, Jesus, and we praise and thank you for this benefit that we receive by being in your body. The only one that is precious in the eyes of the living God is his Son. And the Lord, we are to step into his Son and to allow his Son to step into us. And then that way, when God looks at his Son, we're in him and he loves us. Praise the Lord. Lord, bless all the brothers and sisters throughout the entire world, whether they're in our fold or what, they're our brothers and sisters, and we thank you for them, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Sharon, come on, let's read some of these scriptures of how to have God's life living in you.
The Son reflects the Father, God's
okay. Yeah, when Jesus was in the world, he was a reflection of Father God. And when Father God, with Jesus and his Father, enter into us with the Holy Spirit, we are to reflect him to the people of this world. We're to be the continuation of his incarnation in us, and we're to allow him to represent himself. We're not to represent God the way we want to, or the Lord Jesus as the way we want to. We're to do it the way he wants to. And people will know if you're the one that's representing the Lord, or if it's the Lord himself in you representing himself. Then what?
The Son reflects the Father, God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly as God is.
Right, because we become sons of God when we accept him, Jesus, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit into us. And so, therefore, we are sons of God. And it's because, chiefly because the Son is in us, and he with the Father by the Spirit, and we're in his Son with the Father by the Spirit. We are one. Then what?
He sustains the universe.
Yes, he does. The Bible says that all things are upheld by the power of his word. So that means that everything is sustained by the power of his word. We're on this rocket called the world, the earth, and we're sustained. We're upheld by his spirit, his word. His word is spirit and it's life. And he gives life to the earth itself. You can put a seed in the earth and water it and fertilize it and it grows. That's power. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
He created it and he keeps it going. And he created us and he'll keep us going if we believe his word.
Yeah, and his word tells if we continue on to the end. So don't believe the false prophets that tell you that you can sin and get into heaven. If that were true, then why would his Son have had to die in resistance to sin? He resisted sin unto the death. Now why would he, after doing that, allow you to sin? He said that we must resist Satan and he will flee from us. And then he puts the power of God in us to resist sin. And so there's no excuse for anyone that has the power and yet chooses to do what Satan says. Why would God curse Adam and Eve and everyone on earth with death if it were true that once we ask for forgiveness that we can still sin? The Apostle Paul said, then after we're saved, can we sin? He said, God forbid, because whosoever we allow, in other words, if we let Satan, if Satan causes us to sin, well, then he's our ruler again, and the moral law condemns us again, and that's what it means when the Bible tells us that there's no more forgiveness for us after we've been saved. And after we have accepted, after been washed in the blood, and after we have the Spirit of God in us, and we know the Word, and then we willingly sin, that there's no forgiveness. And I heard a pastor today say, well, you know, if you're being convicted because of it, well, then it must be that, you know, the Lord is doing the convicting. It's your conscience that's convicting you. But yet if you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how much. The Bible says that there'll be a certain knowing that you're going to hell. And because of the fact that you're feeling fear, doesn't mean that you're under conviction. It just means that you're feeling fear because you know that you're condemned because you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not trying to throw people's souls by telling them the wrong things. Read the Bible and see for yourself if what I'm telling you is the truth. Now, one good thing is if you did it ignorantly, then and you are under true conviction and you go to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness, there's a definite possibility that he could restore you to, but you'll have, it's like a uphill fight. You're going to have to fight for your life. It's your very life. And that's why the Bible tells you to get fear, which is wisdom, with all you're getting, because it's your very life. If you don't fear God, you're going to hell. You're not going to keep the commandments. And just because you fear him now, maybe when you're hearing a message like this, and you, that fear, you don't sustain it, you don't cause yourself to continue to fear, and you go right on and sin some more and continue sinning, because you just don't feel you have it in you. It isn't in you, but if Christ is in you with his Father by the Spirit, then it is in you, and you have to believe that. You have to believe the power of Christ. The Bible says, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to me, Jesus said. He said, it belongs to him, Jesus. All right? So that means all power, A-L-L. You and I don't have any power unless Christ is in us, because he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you trust the Lord and don't let depression or discouragement or fear or anything else get you to the point where you start going into drugs or sex or filth or any other filth on the face of this earth, and you, when you're discouraged or disappointed or full of fear and all these different things, then you just go to your Bible and start reading Psalms or Proverbs or whatever the Lord leads you to read. That will pull you out of this. And just remember that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And that no matter how you feel, we're not saved. We can't live our Christian life by the way we feel. We have to have faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by feelings. Amen?
Amen.
Because feelings, you know, one day you're up and you feel happy and full of joy. And then the next day, Satan hits you with some kind of a thought of sex or some fearful or, you know, oh, God, we're going to get hit with the atomic bomb. We've got all these missiles and we're liable to get blown up. That's all the more reason you better get Christ in you with the Father by the Spirit, because if that happens, you won't have to worry. You'll be in the most beautiful place in eternity. Amen?
Amen.
You won't be in hell, but if you have the fear of Satan or satanic things that could happen to you, well, then you're fearful and you're unbelieving. You don't believe God. You've let Satan psych you out or hype you up that he's more powerful than God. Then all of a sudden, you know, disappointment, depression, discouragement, insecurity, uncertainty, and fear enter into you. And then you start going crazy. Oh, I need a fix, you know. And you have to get your mind off all this stuff. And so, you know, off to the happy hour. Let's go down and have happy hour. We're so depressed now. If we just have a few drinks, we'll be happy. That's supposed to be happy hour. No, it's better to, Bible says, not for kings, Lemuel, and the Lord makes us kings, amen?
Amen.
Not for kings. Wine is a mocker. He says, drink no longer wine, but go to the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The wine of the Spirit of the Lord will straighten you out. Okay, that's the happy hours when you're with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Give no place to the devil. Give no place to your fears, to your uncertainties, to your discouragements, to, you know, the depression that you're living in. Why can't we just be happy? Why can't we just go around in horse and buggies like we did years ago when I was in Windham, Montana, in Lewistown? Why can't I just ride on my pony and just ride through the fields in Montana like I used to, and never heard and smell tulips and lilacs and all kinds of different bluebells and all these different beautiful flowers that are in Montana, in other states, orchids up on the top of mountains and things? Why do we have to be threatened by all? Because Satan has been cast out of heaven. Now he can't even approach heaven anymore. And he's going crazy. He knows his time is short, and he knows that those of us that have been called by the Lord are wise to what's happening in the world, and we know how close it is to the end of time. And we're alerting everybody, and a lot of people are abandoning Satan, this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and they're coming into the Lord. And that really angers Satan. He's going crazy, and he's using every kind of tactic to try to get people to come against us with all kinds of false stories, dirty, filthy lies, and things like that. What else can Satan do? He has no power over us whatsoever. And when we're telling the truth about him, the only recourse he has is to lie about us. And so you take backsliders that know they're on their way to hell, they're really uptight because they know we're going to heaven, and they want to bring us down to their own level. And so they say all these false things, hoping that we'll get discouraged and that we'll throw on the towel and maybe join them. Forget it, weasels. You know, forget it. I'm not full of fear. I'm not discouraged at all. I'm not depressed about anything that you say. There's no uncertainty in me, but there is in you. And there's no uncertainty in me. I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm doing. And you people don't. Yeah, I mean, I know you know you're going to hell. And I know you think that you've gone too far. But what I'd say to you people that are telling all these lies about us, I'll bet you anything, if you would confess, you'd repent and admit what you've been saying is false, the Lord may very well forgive you. Now, what are you gaining by doing the things that you're doing? Is anybody giving you any big salaries, or do you think you're going to be rewarded by the Lord? When the Bible plainly said, if I was doing those things, you're supposed to come and tell me what I'm doing wrong. And there isn't anything that you can say that I'm doing wrong that's in the Bible. You obviously don't know the Scriptures well enough to know that what I'm doing is of the Lord, or anybody else that you're falsely accusing. So the thing is, who knows? You know, if you would confess your sins and confess it, you know, to everybody on the channel that you're on the internet, well, then who knows? God very well might repent and not send you to hell. But if you intensify it, again, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not depressed because of what you're saying, and I'm not discouraged. So what are you doing anyway? I'm not insecure. You think I'm throwing myself on the couch and weeping when you're the one that's going to hell if you don't repent? And I'm not. I'm doing the work of the Lord. You're full of, you know, I know you're certain that you're going to hell because I know that you read the Bible before. And you've heard many, many messages, but you keep ignoring them. And this is going to make you have to go to a hotter hell than ever before. Sharon, keep on reading.
The Son will keep us going if we believe His word, if we read it, to know it, to believe it, and do it by the mighty power of his command or his word.
Well, his command is his word, and so that's why his word is powerful if you believe it. But if you don't have faith, if it isn't mixed with faith, it doesn't do you any good. Because the word must be mixed with faith. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12. He will roll them up like an old piece of cloth, an old shirt or an old coat. They will fade away like old clothing, but you are always the same. You never die. You will never grow old.
Right, and if we're in the Lord, we never die and we never grow old either, because we're in Him. And there isn't anything that's in Him that will ever grow old or die. Okay? Because He is eternal life, and if we're in eternal life and eternal life is living in us, then we're going to live forever and we're going to be young again. Praise the Lord. And we already are because we're in Him. Salvation starts here in this world. Eternal life, eternity is in us now. Then what?
Verse 13, and God never said to an angel as He did to His Son, quote, sit in honor at My right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet, unquote. Verse 14, but angels are only servants. They are spirits sent from God to care for those who will receive salvation. You can read that in John chapter 5, verse 4. Quote, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Right. Then what?
We must keep the commandments of the Lord. The Lord admonishes us by His word.
You're not going to keep any commandments of the Lord unless the Lord is in you. Because it's not the you keeping the commandments, it's the Lord. Because you're dead. You die out to sin. You go into an eternal Sabbath. People that just honor the Sabbath one day a week are not mature yet. They need to honor the Sabbath every day. They have to rest from their old works and just let the Lord work throughout all the time. The Lord created everything in 6 days, and that means all throughout time. Some people said He's still working. Yes, He does work in us to win souls, that is. Then what else?
The Lord warns against drifting away or falling away from Him, which shows us that there's no such thing as eternal security. We read in the second chapter of Hebrews, verse...
Well, if there was eternal security, then why would God have to send His angels down here to encourage us? Oh, why be encouraged if we know we've got it made? Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be sick? Oh, be encouraged. I say, what for, Lord? We got it made, right? We're sealed. No, the Lord says, no. You know, you have to continue on to the end to be saved. The Bible says, only those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Continue in a sinless way, in perfection. Keeping the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Those that walk in the Spirit are perfect. Once you get out of the Spirit, though, then you go crazy. We have people that were gloriously saved in our church, and I know this is a fact in other churches, too, and they decide they got married to a person, they find out they didn't like the woman they got married to, so they left the church, they went out and got loaded on crack, they rolled a man for $1,200, and they split up the two people that left. One of them wanted to come back, and we wanted. I didn't know that he'd done these things, and so he says, they said, well, we have to go in the prayer room and pray over here. We have to read the Bible. In our church, you just don't sit around idle. Instead, he's, no, I don't want to pray. I don't want to read today, and he was outside reading a newspaper. I just had to put him out of the church. Then we found out that he had gotten on crack cocaine and that he had rolled a man, robbed him of $1,200, and then bought an old junk car, and we just sent him away with his car. That ain't the way to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord said to put those kind of people out. Where does He say that? In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations. Revelation, I see my time is up. Well, you didn't like this message out there? Why? Why do you not like this message? You know, and you must be something wrong with you if you don't like the message from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, anyway, if you would love to get rid of this fear that you have, discouragement, depression, and insecurity and uncertainty, if you want to know where you're going and what you're doing, well, then ask the Lord to come into your heart. Well, you may ask, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. The simplicity of the gospel has always been a stumbling block to people. They think that you have to be a rocket scientist or something to get saved. But let me tell you something. Little five-year-old children get saved. It's so easy for them to understand. But, you know, you've gone to universities and teach you, it's got to be very complex or scientific or something. No, it isn't. It's by faith. You just have to say a prayer to the Lord. Just say to the Lord right now, this is how simple it is. It's just simple. Say to Him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood to take away all my former sins, to wash them all away and drown them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And He'll never remember them again unless I go and sin again. Lord, I ask You to come into my heart with Your power to uplift my spirit, revive it, and resurrect it from its dead state. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word tells me so. Your word says that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This will be the initial salvation, but then there's more to do. Therefore, I know You've heard me. I've called. I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise Your wonderful, holy, eternal name. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Now, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of the CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Now that you've accepted the Lord, let us know. It is a source of encouragement. We love to, you know, all these people that write in. It's an encouragement to us. And we'll read, you know, if you really were saved, we'll read it over the air if we get a chance. We've got so many of them, you might not be heard for a few days or weeks maybe. But send it in anyway. And until tomorrow, make sure that you do, because there's always something that the Lord is going to add and give you power and strength for the day. Remember, we only go one day at a time. The Lord's coming back soon. Until tomorrow, part 107 of How to Have God's Life Living In. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and keep on keeping on in the Lord. Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.